Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Who hasn't stared into the starry night and felt, you know, alone? Well, it seems there are a lot of neighborhoods in our universe, and over the past 20 years, astronomers have discovered hundreds of planets. However, they've been either too big, too small, too hot, or too cold to sustain life. But astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, the director of the Hayden Planetarium, says a newly discovered planet holds out the tantalizing prospect of being just right.
Yeah. It's a jackpot, actually. What we've always been curious about is whether any of them orbited their host star at the right distance where you could sustain liquid water if the planet had an atmosphere. And most of the planets, nearly all of those planets, were not in this sort of Goldilocks zone. The one or few that were are huge Jupiter-sized planets that no one imagines how you'd have life on a Jupiter. So the holy grail in this exercise was trying to find an Earth-sized planet in the Goldilocks zone around one of these stars, and that's what was just announced.
This Goldilocks planet, the one that it's outside of our solar system, does it have a name?
Well, it's Gliese 581G.
Kind of rolls off the tongue.
No, and Gliese is the name of the catalog. 581, that'd be the number in the catalog. G is the Gth object found in this system. So it's not a lone planet in orbit around the single star. There's other stuff there. And so it's part of what's exciting about it. It's a star system that it's a part of. It's where many of the exoplanets have been found.
So what exactly is an exoplanet?
That's just the word we give to planets outside of our own solar system. So we've got our 8, get over it. And then you go to other stars, they've got planets of their own. And they used to be called extrasolar planets, but that's too many syllables and unnecessary. So they're exoplanets. And then there's the field of study that is in search of life off of Earth, and that's exobiology. So the exo is what gets you out of our own solar system.
And exobiology, you got it. The X could also be for extreme biology.
Yes. In fact, an excellent perceptive point. There's biology on Earth thriving in extreme conditions that would kill us post-haste. And we call those extremophiles, actually, lovers of extreme environments. That has allowed people who look for life elsewhere in the universe to cast a much wider net of the conditions under which they think life might thrive, simply because of the broad conditions that we find life thriving here on Earth. High temperature, low temperature, high pressure, high radiation. And you say, hey, wait a minute. It doesn't just need a room temperature warm pond. If it can thrive in all these conditions, bacterial life that is, then why not look in many more places than we had before?
Yeah, it turns out that life is so tenacious, it really can exist in very extreme conditions.
Right. Not all life, just there's some life that can and does and thrives. And so what it means is if you need intelligent life to have the warm pond, forget it. Just figure out how to talk to bacteria, and that might be all you'll be finding. But nonetheless, it would still be a remarkable discovery to find life of any variety out there, even if it's just single-celled life.
But if we went to an exoplanet, we could literally trip over something, and we might not know it's life.
Yeah, that's an interesting philosophical point, whether there could be forms of life that are beyond our awareness or our capacity to even register as life. And I once sat a little too long with a philosopher who, towards the end, was saying, I wonder if rocks are alive. I said, okay, I'm done with this conversation. I'm sorry. I'm not going there with you on that one. All right? Take that one back to the philosophy coffee lounge. But normally when we think of life, we think of a metabolism, an ability to process energy. We think of its ability to make copies of itself. And now, but by the way, biologists, as much as they might celebrate the diversity of life on Earth, at the end of the day, they have to confess that they have only a sample of one, because all life on Earth has common DNA, all life we've ever investigated, the oak trees, lobsters, jellyfish, humans. And as a result, we're not really in a position to assert what the minimum criterion for life should be. And so that's an unfortunate situation, and that's part of what feeds this eager search for life elsewhere in the universe and nearby stars.
In astronomy, nearby is a relative term.
I should have made that clear. You're absolutely right. This one is about 20 light years away, which if you actually wanted to visit it on the very fastest spacecraft we have ever launched, it would take about 300,000 years. So, so you need really fertile people on board this spacecraft, or just, you know, just be happy with the telescopes. I'd rather just stay home at Earth on Earth and use my telescope to check it out.
Well, the Russians say they're going to be launching a space hotel soon, within 5 years. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody, here's the problem. Normally, we are at the head of this sort of innovation and entrepreneurship. And my big concern is, just as an American, that the rest of the world has discovered space. We know that. China's just sent a mission to the moon just a few days ago. And here we are trying to convince ourselves and Congress that it's a cool thing to do and that there's unlimited resources. And people aren't listening as strongly in America as they are listening in other countries. So, sure, more power to them. Put up a hotel. And then that means they collect our rent. That's just how that goes, you know.
Well, I'm just thinking about all the frequent flyer miles I could have by going to this Russian hotel, actually.
That's right. I bet they'd have to recalculate what the unit of reward is.
Frequent light years, actually.
That's right.
Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. Dr. T, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
You can hear our program anytime on our website or get a download for your MP3 player. The address is loe.org. That's loe.org. There you'll also find pictures and a lot more information about our stories. And check out our Facebook page. It's PRI's Living on Earth. And while you're online, visit myplanetharmony.com. Our sister program, Planet Harmony, welcomes all and pays special attention to stories affecting communities of color. Log on and join the discussion at myplanetharmony.com.